Today's daf in Chulin is daf Tzadi Gimel, and we were in the middle of a sugya that we sort of fell into because we had been discussing lechatchila the question of Gid, and we brought a raya that Gid, I mean again, this is multi-level, the Gemara often does this, but we were talking about the Gid Anash. The question was whether it's the Gid itself or whether it's the Knoknot, which are Ruyais Lachila. And there we mentioned, agav, that it's reasonable to say that we should paskin like Rav Asi. And since Rav Abba Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this was the closing yesterday sugya, is that when the chelev, when the Torah mentions chelev, it means chelev and not chutin. So when the chelev, the Torah says chelev al haksalim, it means dafka al haksalim, and not inside the haksalim. So Memela, we got into the sugi of what precisely defines the type of chelev that's aser, besides the simonim that we had earlier of tusaf krum v'niklaf, that it should be like a beged, and that it has a thick membrane, and it's easy to peel off, but it also has to be something that isn't covered with basar. That's what we fell into. Now, lemaisa, obviously, we had begun discussing chelev really because of the Mishnah in the end, as we're going to see today. We did start talking about the general issue about chelev and whether we're nem or not chelev, but it's fascinating the way the Gemara got us into it through a discussion of Gid and the similarity of the chutbah by Gid and by chelev. And so today we're going to get more into which type of chelev the Torah asked. And therefore we got up to a discussion on the fourth line, Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, of the sugya that we brought yesterday, which begins with gufa. So gufa. We said yesterday, Omer Rav, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that chelev shabasar chofel to mutar. It's okay to eat chelev, even though it may have the shape of chelev. But since the Torah said al haksalim, if it's covered with basar, that's not called al. Al means that it's on top, but not that it's within something else. Asks the Gemara today, Amy, how can you say such thing? Omer Rav, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. If Shmuel himself is quoted as saying that haitarba dutute matne is awesome, that the fats that are found underneath the flanks of the animal, which means that they are covered now by the ribs, and only when you take off that whole upper section do you see this chelev. But according to the drosha that we said yesterday, which Shmuel himself had brought, that if something is covered, so it's not considered to be chelev. By the same token, this should not be considered chelev. Now, if you take a look in the picture, I'm going to show you the picture from people asked that we should speak about where it is. This is from Teras Chulin. This is picture number 148 on page 44, which I'm going to also provide you a PDF of. So if you take a look at picture 148, I'll pass it around, you could see the chelev haksalim that is underneath the thick basar. These are the muscles that run all along the top of the ribs. And you do not see this chelev at all because of the way that it's covered with basar. And nonetheless, it says over here that it's osir. So how could Shmuel possibly say that in one side of his mouth he says it's osir, and the other side of his mouth he says if it's covered, it's mutar? Seems to be a contradiction. No. The chelev along the back portion is right on top.
Take off the skin.
Right on top, you see chelev, sure.
As opposed to being
Yeah, if you take a look at this cut through, whose Gemara is this?
The
art scroll Hebrew, I'm sure they have the same picture in the English. If you take a look at the cross section in the art scrolls, you could see the chelev that's right on top, that's the real chelev, and then you have the chelev that basar is chofe, beneath that. So you have layers here of fat, you see. Yeah, that's a very good illustration, although it's not, you know, it's not a real picture. The real photograph, however, you can also see. Fine. So we seem to have a contradiction. Answers the Gemara, Omer Abaye, that's because you guys are used to seeing an animal in a butcher shop. So to you, it appears that this chelev is covered. And it is, in the butcher shop. Did it ever occur to you that animals, when they're alive, don't look the way they look in a butcher shop? So since an animal walks, as it walks, it pulls now along the layers of fat and muscles and tendons as it moves its legs back. And all of that chelev, which is really the chelev on the ksalim, is pulled out and is perfectly visible if you'd been looking at it while it was walking. And therefore, be'imah b'chayah piruke mifrika. During its lifetime, the animal is made out of pieces that move. And therefore, you cannot judge what's considered to be visible by how it looks when you see it in the supermarket. Omer Reb Yochanan, I could tell you something. Anna, look, I can't say that I've got a lot the Bach actually sees this as Abaya's Raya, not that it's a separate minor, but De Omer Reb Yochanan. That Anna Lav Tavchana, I myself am not a butcher, Lav Bar Tavchana, I'm not the child of a butcher, but one thing I could tell you is Nahir and I remember very clearly that in the Beit HaMidrash, that was a Dover portion that they explained to us, that in the Abayam Bebe Midrash, Abayam Bechaya, Peruke Mifrika, and don't jump to conclusions by package steak. Omer Baba, Omer Yudam Rishmuel, Chelev She'al Hemsis, Ubeit HaKosot, Asurim V'Anush Karet, V'Zeo Chelev She'al HaKeret. So you have some, now you have Chelev HaMechaset HaKeret, that's the big, thick, and heavy. That's what we said. It's like a beggar. This is not like that. This is stuck to the organs. Here we have a nice photograph of that. I think. All right. So yeah, again, in the art scroll, I don't know the page because the one that Barnea has here is the Hebrew, where it's page. It doesn't have page numbers. You could see the Hemsas and the Beit HaKosot. Also on page 128 of the Teras Fulin, you have a nice picture of the inside of the Beit HaKosot and the Hemsas, which are from the inside. It doesn't help us very much to know where the Chelev is, but in any event, at least you'll be able to place it here. So there's also picture number 150, which I provided you the PDF of, that shows you, even though it's not pointing to the Chelev Shalah Emsas of Beit HaKosot, at least you can make it out. What it's mainly focused on is the Chelev Shalah Dakin, which we're going to be discussing a little later. So it's interesting, by the way, that it seems that nowadays the Emsas doesn't do anything. Apparently it's a vestigial stomach, but it's still there, and it sure looks like it's meant to do something. It looks like it's got these sharp things that grind up food, and it's very impressive looking, but it doesn't seem to achieve anything, at least in scientific research. The omasum, one of the four stomachs. So it could be that grasses once upon a time were thicker and needed more grinding in order to... Okay, but in any event, this is not, even though it's not the chelev that's mechase et hakerev, it's still the chelev al. It's on these organs, and therefore it's also osur. Furthermore, Omer Abab, Omer Yudam Eshmo, Hay tarba de kalibusa, the chelev which is on the kalibusa, and the kalibusa is the bone that is here. I think we have, yes, a page on picture number 148. So this is the chelev that is on the kalibusa bone, which is right above from the spine to the pelvis. That is considered to be osur, and that is called chelev she'al haksalim, and there's therefore chiv of koras on it. V'zeo chelev she'al haksalim. Now, being as we're discussing chelev, the assumption was that when he mentioned the words chutim, we had yesterday that we had chutim shebechelev, like the chutim she'al hakerev and the chutim on the ksalim we spoke about yesterday, that when he mentioned chutim shebiyad, which is in the four front legs of the animal, they're also mishum chelev. In which is rather shocking, because we don't have any chelev in that area. To which Rav Safra said, Meisha, mi omrach, mona lo techo bistro. Whoa, what are you talking about? But the Torah said somewhere that you're not supposed to eat meat. Well, the shoulder is meat. So what do you have to take out this chutin for? The lashon of Meisha. Here Rashi says Meisha is a way in which you refer to a big tabat chokh. It's like Meisha b'derek. Elsewhere Rashi says Meisha is sort of a swear word. Like, you know, my gosh, I swear by Moses. Like we have the Neder B'mui. But it's a way in which I make a point. Ay, 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 ay. I mean, what would Moshe think about this? Can you imagine? I swear by Moses, this is crazy. So, how could you say such a thing? Oh, my Rava. Yeah? Hey, Moshe. Mi Omer Achmona Echodona. What? The Torah said to eat blood. In other words, you got it all wrong. I never meant that. You assumed that I was saying it's Chalev. I was saying it's Chalev. The problem over here is that these are thick blood vessels, these chutim. And if you don't get rid of that blood, then that whole area, it becomes asur ba'achila. But of course, chatche u'malche, look, if you cut open the vessels and you did a malicha, you got rid of the dam, that's not a problem. Then you could put it into your pot and boil it up in your cholent. I feel like k'deir nami shop here. I'm only saying that it requires chaticha and malicha. It wouldn't even be enough to just do the melicha, because since it's inside of a thick blood vessel, you won't get the dam out.
But it's not the chutim we're talking about.
It is the chutim, not the chutim we talked about yesterday. Those are chutei chelev. The Gemara is going to distinguish which are chutei chelev and which are chutei dam. By the way, some of the things that the Gemara ends up calling chutei chelev, in reality, are blood vessels. But that doesn't mean that they're usher because of the dam in them. You see, because it could be there's not much dam in them, and that dam comes out anyway. But the vessels themselves that are mechuber techelav could be considered to be chutechelav. Anyway, so what you did was misunderstand me. There's a whole question over here, like Abay, the liver. Because here it says chatcha umalche. You require chaticha umalicha in order to be able to eat this in your cholent. And this was a whole machlokas of the Shita Rabbi Natan, who says that if you broil a liver, even without chaticha, you're allowed to cook it in your cholent. And here is this is the main gemara that is used by those who are chelek and Rabbi Natan, that if you want to use a liver for cooking afterwards, you have to do a chaticha and not only the tzliya. And he held that you could actually salt a liver, because salt was the shear of tzliya in the bag. Okay, but that's a little bit beyond the issues that we're talking about here. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Once we've already opened the issue of these chutim, then we're going to get into the details of the chutim after we finish the area of the chelev that we'll see in a moment. And we're going to first give us another maimer of Yudam Rishmuel. So we've been discussing Rabbi Yonah Shmuel Piske Halacha Silagabi Chelev, and another, which is the last area of Chelev, which is the Chelev al Adakim. So we've gone along, we've started, but if you recognize what we've done here, we've started at the pelvis, gone to the Ksalim, moved down the thigh, and we've gotten underneath to the Hemsis, the Beit HaKosod, and now we're moving down to the intestine. So we're in the internal organs now, and there's chelev al adaki. So what is that chelev al adaki? So it comes along again, Rabbah and Rabbi Yehuda. Or Mashmuel, in this case, it's Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel alone, that reish me'aya ba'amta bo'egerira, the first ama of the intestines, as they come out of the kerev, they come out of the keva, specifically that area of the stomach, that number of the stomach, that requires grira. You have to get rid of, you have to scrape off all of the chelev, and that is the chelev al-adakin that we saw earlier in the Masechta, where we had the machlokas and the treifas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Omer of Yehuda, chutin sheba'oketz asurin, there are also chutim that are in the rump, and that's in the flanks of the animal, and there are five of them. Hamisha chute ite bekafla. There are five chutim in the rump. Talata miyamina, three on the right side. Vetarte mismola, two on the left side. The three on the right side are split, each one into two. So the talata mafasla tre tre. The two on the left side are each mitpatzel into three. The trei mefatzle letlata tlata. Now, why do you need to know all of this? We're not giving you an anatomy lesson. Well, you need to know this simply because if you're smart enough to get those chutim out right after shita, while the meat is still warm, they'll come right out, and you don't have to worry about it. So ishalif lata chamimi, while the animal is still warm, mishtalfa, they pull out. But if you don't do it then, you're going to have to dig into the meat in order to get rid of these chutim all the way down. Now here we also have a very good picture. And we're going to get to that. The Gemara is about to tell us a list of all of the chutim and what it is that they're usur because of, whether they're blood or whether they're chelet. We have very good pictures. Pictures number 152 and 153 in the... actually also in the 151. 151 through 154 got nice pictures of these chutim. I'll pass that around. And you can see them actually splitting. The Gemara is going to... The part of Nikur, yeah. Yes, all of this chelef, like the Mishnah, the very end of the Mishnah, v'ala chelef. That's what gets all of this here. In other words, I'm going to get v'ala chelef. That little mention ends up revolving around chelef agim and chelef ashlil and all of the dinim of chelef, and all of it is all the chelef.
And they have teachers before they had pictures.
They took an animal and they taught you the way you got to learn now too. How much you going to learn from the picture? You go to the Beis Hashkita. That's what that was. When I was teaching in yeshiva and we were learning the sugya, I took all the talmidim to the Beis Hashkita. We pulled the animal apart. We even made it. I mean, they didn't have video in those days, but we even made movies. Sure, of course.
Super 8.
Yeah. We turned it into a video, actually, when they... I had it, but I don't know what happened to it. Anyway. It was a very, very, very cute video. I did some musical background, so as the cows were walking over there, like a little, it's like bridge over troubled water. It's very cute. So anyway, yeah, as there's a lot of water under those bridges. So furthermore, Omer Abaya, the Itamer Rav Yehuda, we've been discussing a lot of these chutim, and I want to wrap it up for you here. There are five sets of chutim. Three of them are usur because of chelev. Tlatam shum tarva. Two of them are usur because of dam. Now, the tachle, we spoke about the chutim in the tchol, in the spleen, and the kafle, on the flanks and on the kidney. All those things we spoke about yesterday. All of that is bishum tarva. So that means what we've been discussing now, and the kafle are the chelev. The yada, those that are in the hands, and the lua, which we haven't discussed yet, which are in the jaw, and the lechi, those are blood chutim. The nafkamina la halacha, lamai nafkamina, is obvious. Anidimishum dama, the ones that are also because of blood, you get rid of the blood. So if you cut them open, and you do malicha, so then you can use it. Im machatechu malchelu, shaper dama. You don't have to be machatech after it, you just got to get rid of the blood. The other three, so I'm going to help you to salt chelev, obviously. And hanach letle takanta. Now, if you take a look in the picture on page 100 and 101, which I'm also going to provide you in a PDF, you will see we haven't gotten to the tchol yet, which we'll talk about, but you do see the loshein and the lua, which are large blood vessels that go from the jaw into the tongue. And here you have the tchol, that's 7.6a. And here you have a picture of the chutim that we're talking about. This is nogea, 7.6b. Now what's fascinating is that even though we're saying this is osur bishum chelev, it is not really chelev, it's a blood vessel. However, because they're mechuber, you can see very clearly how they're mechuber to the chelev layers here. So these are osur min rabbonin because of their contact continuation from this chelev. That's why we're saying it's mishum chelev. So as I mentioned earlier, don't jump.
That's the spleen.
That's the spleen, yeah. weird looking animals fleeing. So the fact that the Gemara says that they're Osir Mishum Chelet does not mean that they're not blood vessels. We shouldn't confuse. The Isser could be an Isser of Chelet, not because of the dam that's in it. And that's the case over here.
Didn't you say, though, that we're talking about Chelet, we're talking about pieces that we're going to work?
Yes and no. Where we're talking about Chelet al Haksalim, that's Tusav Kulunikov. However, that's what this Sugya is pointing out, and we're going to get to more of this. There's Isur Chelet on particular organs that are not Tusav Kulunikov. They're part of the organs, the coverings of the organs. That's not Tusav Kulunikov. And those are those organs that are brought on the Mizveah, where the Torah says that should also be brought.
Those
include these Kuti. Fine. Omer of Kahana, the Tamer of Yehuda, we've been discussing Chutim. However, you need to also recognize that there are membranes that are us. So besides the Chamisha Chutim, you have Chamisha Krami. So you have Krum, which is membrane, three of which are Usr because of Chelev, just like the situation, coincidentally, just like the situation with the Chutim, and Trei Mishum Dama. Two are Usr because of Dam. Now the Tchol, besides the Chelev itself, has a thin wrapper, which again you can see in 7.6a. It's covered with a membrane. That membrane is considered to be a problem of Chelev. So if you have the Tchol, the Kafle, which again, besides the Chutin that we were discussing, there's also on, directly on the meat, there's a covering, a membrane covering. And the kidney, as we saw yesterday, has also a covering. Let's see if we could get the... Here, by the way, this is a very nice picture, 7.8 of the membrane being pulled off the Tchol. So you can see very clearly this membrane, Mishum Tarva, and you can see very clearly the thick fat that's on the kidney.
The membrane is not really fat because it's connected to...
It's considered to be Chelev. That is, the Torah calls this Chelev, refers to it as... Because Chelev doesn't necessarily mean fat. Shuman means fat. Chelev are these things that are fatty-type materials, which are membranous. So even though it doesn't have... Look, all Chelev has that thick layer of the membrane, which is part of the Chelev, anyway. So even when we say Tusav Krum V'Niklaf, it includes the fats. So that is all. Those three. Spleen, the hanks, and the kidneys is all fatty. The testicles, which are covered with a membrane, and the brain, which is covered with a membrane, are problematic only because of dam. With the mukra, is the moach, is mishum dama. Revira baroshia, avikakolifle tachla, the levi bereder of unabarchia. So when the levi bereder of unabarchia would eat, he had his mishamish, his revira baroshia, who used to peel off the membrane from the tchol. And he did not dig into the tchol, he removed only the area that was on top. So he was Avika Goyim Lemi Eloi. And Levi saw him once and told him, that's not enough. Dig into it, man. Chod Beitvei. Get into it. So Ota Avur, so Levi's father came and found that he said that. Omar Leis, he said to him, you know, all of a sudden, Nu Chumras. Hoki Omar Avur, the Imam, you know, your grandfather was quoting Rav, who was his grandfather, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, his maternal grandfather. Your maternal grandfather said, Lo Asra Teira Ela Shala Dat Bilvad, that the Torah asked anyway only the thick area of the membrane that was around the dot. The dot you could see up here very clearly in the picture on 7.10. So that is really chelev like, and that's where the blood comes into the tchol. But that's the only area that's also in your eyes. You know, you don't have to get so machmer on this, and you don't have to take off the inside. So Levi asked him, really? Amr of Amnuna, all I know is that there's a braita, and the braita says, Tana, krum she'alat chol os. So you're right, you're telling me about the d'oraisa. But the braita says that the entire krum is osir, except it's drabonim, the ein chayav and alad. So now, what do you think it's referring to? If it's referring, you think it's referring to aladad, why wouldn't you be chayav? That's the part that the Torah asked. Am I ein chayav and alad? So clearly it was saying you have to get rid of all of the chayav on the tchol. So what are you screaming at me for? Yeah, there was two different things. So what Grandpa said had to do with the right. And I'm telling you what's there been Rabona. Omale, says, Dad said, okay, I give up, sorry. Tanya, look, you know, if you got a brighter, you got a brighter. What am I going to do? Gufa. Omrevamnuna, Tana, let's look into that brighter. Krum shalatkol asur ve'in chayavin Allah. The krum shal gabi kuya is asur. And also in Chayavin Alav, the Braita says, there's another Braita that says, you're Chayav on both. So Tchola, Tcholo Kasha, we know the answer to that already, because we were Bechalik between the Dad and the rest of the Tchol, which is only Rabona. So the Tchola, Tcholo Kasha, one is Keneged Adad, and one is Shalok Keneged Adad. But the Kulya is also Lokasha, because Ha Be'iloi, Ha Betatoi, it depends whether you're talking about the upper krum is true chelet, and there's also a thin attached krum to the kidney itself, which looks like part of the kidney. That's only osir midrabbana. Now, what about if you have, once we were talking about testicles in terms of the krum, what about if you have crushed testicles that were not really functional, but that were sitting inside the animal's scrotum? Are those considered to be detached, in which case it would be osur, because of Avram and Achai? So as if they had been cut off before. Tosfos points out that that would only be minarabonim, clearly, because we said Avram that are meduldolim are not really osur, b'shem Avram and Achai. But would they be osur, or would they be considered to be still, even though they're not functional, it would still be considered to be part of the living animal?
So it's true, because it's not about the animal.
Yes. Yeah, testicles, what are they good for anyway? So Rabami and Rabasi were chelek on this. Chad asar v'chad shori. So one of them held was osur b'shem Avram and Achai, and one of them was matir. So man the asar, again, we don't know which one, but whoever said it was osur, he said, look, you know, you can give this years, they'll never be well again. You're never going to find functionally useful testicles that have gone through this chashilta. So naloka barian, normally part of an animal is going to, if it's still attached, so it should be able to regenerate it. This never regenerates. Therefore, it must be an Avram min Achai. Whereas Mandashari, the one that says it's mutter, says, well, I mean, the animal doesn't get gangrene from having these supposedly dead testicles, in which case, it must be that they're living at some level. So in a naloka misarcha, they have some chiyut in them, and so obviously we could be talking about still supplied by blood and so on, and that's not a problem. The Edak, the man the Rambam, who says, no, they're not alive, he says the reason that they don't become gangrenous is because they're not exposed to bacteria. So since they're protected inside the body, the fact that it doesn't rot doesn't prove that it's alive, whereas the other man the Rambam is on the contrary. The fact that it doesn't regenerate doesn't prove anything. It's kechishutu, the nakitlu. Look, I mean, they've gone through a lot of damage and it can regenerate. What is that? What does that prove that it's considered to be like dead? Omerlei Rav Yochel, Rav Shama Bar Abba. Look, lemaisa hani bei chashilta. If you have crushed testicles that you want to know whether you're allowed to eat this, you shouldn't. But that's only because of a minach. They're really mutter, sharian, because we passed them like the Bandi Omar. And again, as Tosfos said, it's only Darabonin anyway, because it's not going to be more than Evarim Amidul Dolim. In which case, we're not Machmir. Lemaisa, around your location, where you come from, people remarked it. And therefore, Atlo Tekla, you shouldn't eat. Because Al Titosh Torati Mecha, after all, there's an Indian, Al Titosh Torati Mecha, you follow the Minhagim of your place. Omar Mar Bar Ravashi, we said before that there's a problem. That there's a problem of dam in the membrane that surrounds the testicles. Now, that is not necessarily true, because if you're talking about a kid, so it's still close to birth, and that means that it's still immature. And therefore, immature testicles are not really such a problem. So atzlatin yumin, for the first 30 days following birth, you don't have to worry about the krum. Sharyan, below klipa, you're allowed to eat this without taking off the membrane. Mikan ve'el, beyond 30 days, it depends on the maturity of the particular animal. E'azran, if they're already functional, there's semen in them, so then they're usher, because then they're well supplied with blood. But ilo azran, if there's no zera in them, then they're mutter, because there's also no dam. Minoyadinani, how are you supposed to know? Basically, it's easy to tell. If after 30 days there's red coloration in the membrane, so then that's already a simen that they're azran, you have dam. If not, then, and this means shuriki means like lines, so you could see like little blood vessels. In picture number 162, oh, there's also some very nice, very, very nice, I'm sorry I didn't show it to you before, the krum on the kafle comes out very clear in 159. The kulia, here been taken off, also comes out very clearly in 160. The cranial membrane doesn't come out very clear, but the testicles here, you can see very clearly the red lines that it's referring to, small blood vessels, which are considered to be dam. Now I'll pass this around. That's number 162. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Umtzi bei umizrki. Now there's three things where we find a machlokas between Rav Ach and Ravina that we're going to discuss. One is a very reddened piece of meat. Now, it may have gotten perhaps a bruise when it was alive, but it definitely has more than the normal blood that you find in a piece of meat. It's very red. And then, in general, testicles. And mizrke are the thick veins in the neck. These three things, there's a machlokas between Rav Ach and Ravina. Now, by the way, b'chol ha'tara kula, everywhere else in Shas, when we have a machlokas, Ravina, Rav Ach, except for these three things. Ravina is always l'kula, and Rav Ach is always l'chumra, and we always paskin like Ravina l'kula, except for these three cases, which is why we've listed them together. L'var mi'ani plot, where in these three cases, it's exactly the opposite. Rav Ach is l'kula, Ravina is l'chumra. The only thing that's the same is that we paskin l'kula here too, but we paskin this way l'kula like Rav Ach. And we're l'ayofatak Rav Ach l'kula. What are the three cases? So umsa, let's take the case of a piece of meat. That doesn't mean any piece of meat, it means an umsa da asmik, a piece of meat that got very red. So then if you cut it so that it, in other words, it's not encased in a membrane, it's a piece of meat that you sliced. If you did malicha, that's all, you don't have to worry about the red. If you did malicha, it's kosher even for the cholent. Nami shakar dummy. And not only that, if you roasted it and it was hanging on a shput, so that it was on a spit, so that the blood could come out of it, it's also okay. So if it's b'shputa doiv doma, the place where we have a machlokas is where it was put directly on hot coals. A gumrin. You put it on hot coals. So there you have a machlokas or a vach ravina. Do hot coals cauterize the meat and prevent the blood from coming out? Or do they draw out the blood? Zacharama mishav shivilei. They draw out the blood. Zacharama mitzmat something. They know they cauterize it. And once they cauterize it, the blood doesn't come out. No, you don't put liver on gumri. You put liver on fire. Gumri is there's no flames. It's just warm coal. Fire is certainly shy. On remits, we're talking about over here coals gumri. That well, first of all, we never do such a thing. We're chaytev. We cut them open. Here we're talking. This is part of that whole sugya that we had before with the Rabbeinu Tam, that goes into the difference between this sugya and the sugya. It actually brings that question. And the other case where we've got a problem is the same. We have the same issue when it comes to testicles, and the same issue when it comes to thick blood vessels from the neck. Reisha bekivsha. Now, if you take an entire head and you put it into a hot hot coals. So now, if you set it down on the Beit HaShchita, that's not a problem. Because then for sure you have wide open blood vessels, all the blood drains out of the head, that's not a problem. If you put the head on its side, so then it just cooks in the head, and then it's awesome, because it's got nowhere to come out from. If you put the head upside down so that the nostrils are on the coals, so then the blood will come out if you keep that open. So you stick it, you puncture, put a piece of twig or something through the nostrils. That allows the blood to drain out. So that's pay meeting. Sure, the loss, but if you didn't jab something through the nose, it's not going to be able to drain. Economic, others say, no. It's going to drain naturally without any dutzpe if you put it on the nechirim or if you put it on the Beit HaShchita. That's not a problem. Then it's doyed. If you put it on the side, if you puncture the head, you stick something through it, it's also good. And the only time we say that it's osur is if you didn't do anything. The ilo osur is a much bigger kula than the first lush.
Just in time, Rosh.
Om Rav Yoram Shmuel. Okay, the Girsa says the Bach should be because it's clearly we're going back now to discuss the opening of the sugya. We got into all of these issues, remember, through a discussion of what is the Giran Nosh. So we spoke about the two veins, not veins, they're nerves really, one of which runs along the inside of the thigh and goes all the way from the pelvis bone down to the knee, and the other one, which only runs along the outside of the thigh and runs into the muscle of the calf, doesn't go all the way down. So, and again, this was the picture that we had on page, I think it was 91, was it? Hold on a second. No, it was on 90. Page 97, picture 7.4 shows us very clearly the difference between the femoral nerve, which is the gid hachitzon, and it runs on top of the calf, and the actual gid hanasha. So they're on opposite sides of the thigh. Very good picture of the femoral nerve. Right? So that's al kaf hayarech, but on the wrong side.
Illustrations at the beginning of the article,
introduction
chapter 7.
Schematic, not a picture. Yeah, okay, it doesn't help that much. But this is beautiful. Here, it runs on the muscle, not under the muscle. The real one runs here. If you peel off the calf, then you see the sciatic nerve running along the bone. And this is on the other side, on top of the calf, without needing to peel it off. Okay. So this is what he said before. Now we want to get into it. So Gufa, Omer Rav Yoram Shmuel, Shnei Gidinein, Haptimi Somach LaEtzem Asur, V'Chayav Min Allah, Chitzon Somach LaBasar Asur, but it's also Min Rabbanon, Vein Chayav Min Allah. That's the Gemara. That's really weird because a Braita says exactly the opposite. A Braita says the Pnimi is Somach LaBasar, and I thought, oh, you're identifying the Pnimi as Somach LaEtzem. Omer Vachla, Omer Rav Kana. Well, obviously, it doesn't. I mean, the point of the nerve is to innervate the muscle. It doesn't run along only the bone, including niklid. It's like a key that goes into different places in the basar itself. But it starts off along the bone. Well, and what about the brayta that says the chitzon is samach la'etzem? That's also the opposite. Is that a coincidence? Omer Rav Yehuda, no, of course not a coincidence. It comes out of the pelvic bone, remember. It's got, you have to have the main nerves that are running along the spine as the spinal cord. And we saw before the Beit HaParashot that there are holes, literally, in the vertebrae that where the nerves branch out of. And this continues on down through the pelvic bone, splits up, in which the outside becomes the femoral nerve, and the inside becomes the sciatic nerve. Well, obviously, it has to start at the place where it comes. That's going to be on the bones. And right at the top, it runs along the pelvic bone. That's what it's referring to, somach la'etzem. But that's only in the area hechad aparitavche. That's where the butchers make the cut, where they're going to open up the animal And there, yes, it is on the bone. So of course it makes sense when you want to identify, say, it's the thing that you see right on the bone. I think there was a picture somewhere of Echel Abarak Tafel, but I don't remember if it's really Kedai for Spurn. Is it on there? No, there it is. Okay. No, I remember seeing it somewhere, but it's not, certainly not worth the time. It's obvious what we're referring to. Itman. Tabach shenimtzah chelav acharav. How about a tabach who did his nikur and then a customer finds some chelav? Bad news. Rav Yehuda says, well, the shiur, which we're assuming means to really take this guy, you know, put him up on the amud and beat him, is because se'ora, even a tiny little bit, the size of his se'ora. Rav Yochanan says, well, let's not exaggerate. If you have a gezayit on Rav Papa, there's no machlokas. It's not that he's saying don't exaggerate. One was referring to actually give him malchus, besides firing him, and that you need a gezayit. The other one is just to fire him. And that's se'ora, but everybody's agreed to the shearing. Rav Zutra says, that's not the difference. It's going to be, we're going to fire him no matter what, and there's no difference between Malchus and firing him. The difference is whether the shiur needs to be all in one place. If it's a kisaora, then it has to be in one place, the saora. A kizayit would mean if you have tiny little bits here and there and so on. So then, a kizayit, afil v'shayim v'shalosh makomod, would add up. Okay, many learned that this is just a pirish that he's saying on that. In other words, yes, it's true, there's an afkamina between the Sa'ora and the Kizayas in terms of Al-Kotol Al-Boro, and there's also another afkamina. Ve'ilchata, Ba'alochiz La'al-Kotol requires a Kizayit, La'abro requires only a Kise'ora. Eina tabachim ne'amanim, and then we said, Eina tabachim ne'amanim, and the Chachomim argued on Rabbi Meir, and they said, yes, the Tabachim are Ne'emanim on it and on the Chelev, which seems to be a non sequitur. Who's talking about Chelev? We'll talk about that later. But first, let's talk about an interesting change where the Gemara says that from the time of the Mishnah, things have become different. At the time of the Mishnah, they're not Ne'eman, but, says Rukhiya Barav and Ryochanan, nowadays the Chachomim have come to say that they are Ne'eman. Chazru lomar ne'amanim. Amrim nachmar. That's very interesting to know. I guess people are more reliable nowadays, huh? But it sure ain't the way I see it. Achshur edare. Well, what is that supposed to be? I've heard of such a thing. Chazru lomar. Somehow people are more ne'aman. I don't believe that. No, that's not the reason. The reason is that mikora havisav lak Rebbe Meir. Originally, the psak was like Rebbe Meir. Therefore, you couldn't trust anybody. Rabbi Meir says you have to be mechati tachara. You know how much tircha that is to do a proper nikur. You can't trust anybody to do that. That's why in Nemonim you need to have a mashgiach. When we say then chozru lomar, it's not because now people are better. It's because we now pass like Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a big deal. All you got to do is cut off the top area, and that's a good enough nikur. So therefore, nowadays you can believe that some have this Dafka, not on the Resha, but rather on the Seifa, where the Chachomim said that you are Ne'eman. So Ne'emanim alav alachayav. In this version, Reb Chiya bar Avraham, Reb Yochanan said, actually nowadays, ain Ne'emanim. In this version, it was Reb Nachman who says, well, since then, they are Ne'eman. And it's we who asked on Reb Nachman, how can say such a thing? Well, people are now more reliable. Akshurei dare. And here the explanation is, now look, originally when we said the Ne'eman, it was because we were paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not such a big deal. When they said a Ne'eman, they were paskin like Rabbi Meir. But not because, the reason we didn't believe them is not because it was so hard. The reason we didn't believe them is because since everyone who works in the field of Nikur has a Kabbalah, you know, she knows his grandfather and his father never were mechate. Well, these new chumras are coming along saying, happy mechate. We don't go with these new chumras. Let these guys worry about it. We'll just do it the way we used to do it. So therefore, we can't trust them, because they're remembering that that's not the way it used to be. So Avidechira, it's a comic, Avidechira, the Rabbi Yehuda, as long as there was a Kabbalah that they remembered how grandpa used to do it, and they did it like Rabbi Yehuda, you couldn't trust them, because then they would be makel for themselves. Now they've already forgotten what their grandfathers used to do. So everybody drinks Chol Yisrael. So Hashtadan, Shiyua, the Rabbi Yehuda, man, and now they forgot the original halacha. So because of that, now you can trust them. Okay. Then continues the Mishnah. It's amazing. Dodi just told me. She was like totally devastated. She works in this school, and she goes into the teacher's room to warm up her Starbucks coffee, which had gotten cooling off. So she comes to the microwave that she uses every day. Big sign on the microwave. You can't warm anything that isn't called Yisrael in the microwave. Understand? Rav Meisha and all of Rav Meisha's Talmidim that didn't hold that you need to be makbid on Chol Yisrael Ad Hayom. So the biggest topic is that the Dafka don't drink Chol Yisrael because Rav Meisha wasn't makbid on Chol Yisrael. They're not allowed to use the microwave. Okay, so now we know. So there, okay, continues the Mishnah, Ne'amonim, V'ala Chelev. What do you mean, V'ala Chelev? Who's talking about Chelev? Of course, we know already that the undercurrent throughout over here, Shuman Agiv, the Chelev Agiv, now Ala Chelev, now retroactively justifies all of the discussions that we've been having. It's not a coincidence that, of course, the Gemara got into all of the issues of Gidom Rachmanov, Loknoknos, or Alak Salomon Rachmanov, Lobitochak, so all of these sugars are related. Chelev Amarachmanov, Lochutim. Okay, so then we have the Shwil, which also related to Chelev and the Gid. There's a lot of interrelated sugars, which comes out with this last thing, but Lamais, it's very strange that Rabbi Meir didn't mention, Rabbi Meir just said the Gid. So why are we talking about the Chelev? Chelev, Mando Hashma, who's talking about Chelev? Hogikama. Well, you have to understand, Rabbi Meir actually had said, Ein ne'amanim alav v'al ha'chelev. Now, the truth is that there's a difference between the two. Because the chazur lomar ne'amanim would only be negeah on the gid, not on the chelev. If you hold it, the machlokas was only negeah. Whether you cut it off, that's the Tosfos Shita, that you cut it off, gomamoni mashofi. So there really would be a reason, maybe, that he wanted to be mechalek, which we throw it back together again at the end. For chachamim, we don't mention in the divrei Rabbi Meir. Then in the end, we put it all together. For chachamim, omrim ne'amanim alav ve'al ha'chelev. It came as a shock to me to remember how things have changed. Right. So this time of the year, which is a horror now, you can't leave your windows open. You have to put earplugs in your ear and stuff. It's awful. Know, where you are, Richie, maybe it's not so bad.
Right, but
even by you. You can't imagine the pain of seeing the wildness and the crazy. It's like Times Square. Mm-hmm. At 2 o'clock in the morning, Times Square, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Pachat Pechorim, the whole Elul. And I'm thinking, 50 years ago, I was sitting during the same period, only 5 minutes away, basically. Because I used to live right at the edge, where the tunnel begins now. So right at that street, right at the end of Rehovah Chomar. Rehovah Chomar Shlishit, right at the end of Musar. So it's 5 minutes away. The same area. You could hear literally for miles. If somebody coughed in Rehavia, I'm literally not exaggerating. If somebody coughed in Rehavia, you could hear them in Mejor. I mean, it was total and absolute silence. Except for a chamor. From the Arabs, it used to be no air in the middle of it. Every once in a while, you would hear a chamor no air. Came time for slichas, and all you heard was this cold mama daka, such a sweet voice you would hear. Shteyu for slichas, and he'd bang on the next window. Shteyu, but this you could hear, and this you could hear for miles, right? And the intensity, the beauty, the stillness. And, I mean, the difference between what people consider to be an experience of sleepless. It's frightening. Pushing frightening. Shuri Darin. Hashem Yishmor.
This parak has been...
Gufa. Omra Bab, Omra Yivarod, Omra Shmuel. Chelev Shabbasar Chofeota Mutar. Any Omra Bab, Omra Yivarod, Omra Shmuel. High tarvata tute matni osir. Omer Abaya, that's because Beima B'chaya Prukim Ifrikai. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, look, Ana Lav Tavchana, Lav Bar Tavchana, but I remember very clearly that Rabbi Amri Beima Drosha, Beima B'chaya, Prukim Ifrikai. Omer Abaya, Omer Rabbi Yonam Shmuel, Chelav Shalayim says, Ubeit HaKosot Asurin V'Anushkaret, V'Zeu Chelav Shalakarev. Omer Abaya, Omer Rabbi Yonam Shmuel, Hai Tarbat Kalibusta, Asur, and that's the real chaylev, onush kores, v'zel chaylev shalak salim. Omer Rabbah, Omer Rav Yonam Shmuel, chutin shebiyad asuri. Omer Rav Safra, meisha, mi Omer Rachmona lo techo bistra. Boy, yeah, this is a real chumra. Omer Rav, excuse me, meisha, mi Omer Rachmona chol doma. But I'm obviously chatche malche, I agree. Feel like there an Amish apodot. Omer Rav Yonam Shmuel, reish me aya, ba'amta, boy gerira, v'zel chaylev shaladak, and then we talked about earlier in Eilu Treifas. The Amr of Yehuda, chutin shebeoketz asuri. Actually, chamisha chute itbe bekafla. Talata miyamine betarte mismola. The talate are mefatzle tre, and the tre mismola are mefatzle talata. Now, you got to know this because isholiflu adechamime, fine, you're in luck. But ilo boy chatita batrayu. Omer Abaye v'Tamer Rav Yehuda, Chamisha Chum Chute Avet Tlatav Shum Tarba V'Trei Mishum Dama Tachle De Kafle De Kulyata Z Mishum Tarba De Yada V'Delua Z Mishum Dama L'May Nafkamina. Obviously, Hanim Shum Dama Imachat Tichlu Malach L'Sharpa Dami. Where's the other three? How are you going to get? You have to get rid of it. Tzarach Let L'Takanta. Omer Rav Kanami V'Tamer Rav Yehuda. There's also Chamisha Krumim Avet Tlatav Mishum Tarba Trei Mishum Dama. The tachle, the kafle, and the kulyata is mishum tarva. The beil, the mukri is mishum dama. Revira barashai avika kolifle tachle levi. Bereid revuna barchia. Avika goim le miloi, and he didn't dig into it. So Levi told him, man, dig into it. Chot betve, ota avua of Levi. Ashkeche, I'm like, what's this new chumri you got over here? Hochi amra avua de ima, mishum de rav, umone rabir mea baraba. Lo asra torah, la shaladad bilvad. So Levi said to him, is that so? V'omer of Amnuna Tana, Krum Shalatchol Oser Ben Chayavan Olav. So no, what do you think he's referring to? V'nechidom, Yilam Shaladad, why not Chayavan Olav? That's Marmish Chayla. Ela de Kula. Omele, I give up. Okay, Tanya, Tanya. Guf, Omer of Amnuna Tana, Krum Shalatchol Oser Ben Chayavan Olav. Krum Shalakulia Oser Ben Chayavan Olav. Aye, there's another bride that says just the opposite. Chayavin alav on both. So the tchola tcholo kasha that we already know. Or keneged adad, which is the oraita. Or shalok keneged adad ein chayavin alav. Kulya kulya nami lo kasha. There are two layers of membrane. Ha be'iloi ha betatoi. Be'icha shilta. Ravami ravasi chad asar v'chad shor. It's a manda asar. So look, it's obviously every menachai because it's a lokabaria. So honey, every menachai, you know, manda shori says it doesn't turn to gangrene. So must be on a chiyuti to v'idat. Hi, the local misr and the local shalit bo avira. V'idat. Hi, the local bari and kechishutu the daketol. Only Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shama Bar Abba. Hani beicha shilta sharian, but you better not eat it. Bishomal titosh tarati mecha. Omar Mar Bar Avashi. Hani beidigadia. Atlati yuma sharian below klipin. And this is a worry about it. Mikan ve'elach. You have to check. I azra an asur. Ni lo azra an sharian. Mino yadina. Very simple. Ipushuri ke sumke. So then asiran let pushuri ke sumke sharian. Umtse bei umizrike. Plege baravach ravina. And bechater kula ravina lakula ravach lachumra. Vilchotak ravina lakula. Lavar me anitlat ravach lakula ravina lachumra. Vilchotak ravach lakula. And they are umtsa. Umtsa means umtsa da asmik. If chotcho malcha, if you look at their anami shapir dami. Tayle bishpuda, it's okay, because doyev dama. Agumre, there you got a problem. Plige baravach ravina, chanumar mishav shivile, chanumar mitzvah tzmutzile, and the same thing is true about bei, same thing is true about mizrake. Reisha bekivsha, depends how you set it down on the coal. Otvia beta shchita, so then doyev dami vashari. But if you set the head down at stodim, the blood simply freezes in place and gets baked in, so then it's awesome. Otve anechire, it depends. Dats be midishari, ilo asir. So this is the chumra loshana. Ikari amre, more kula, is that if you set it down either on the nechire or on the beit hashkita, it's okay, doye. If you put it at studim, there's even a way at studim it could be kosher. How? Idotz pe mirishar yivilo aser. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel shnei gidim gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel shnei gidim hapnimi samoch leatzim asur v'chayavano hachitzon samoch lebasar asur v'ein chayavim. Ay, v'atani the pnimi is samoch lebasar. Amar Rav Acha Amar Rav Kana. It's including miglet after a while. V'atani the chitzon is samoch leatzim. On review, yes, at the beginning, echad apayet tafche. Itma, tabach shenim tzachela v'acharav, review noma b'kisa ora, rebyochan b'kisayet. On repapa v'lo pliki kan la alkoto, kan la abro. On remar zruta, kisa ora v'makom echad, kizayet afilo b'shrayim b'sholosh mekomot, v'yolchot ala alkoto b'kizayet la abro b'kisa ora. Ina tabachim ne'emanim, on repri barava, on rebyochanan, Chazul Oman Emanim. I'm not home about things have gotten better, you think? Avshire Dare? No. But Mikara, Avisavak Rabbi Meir. So Mamela was very tough. No Avim Amnik. Losof, Avisavak Rabbi Yuda. Ika de Matna Sefer, Chachonim, Armin Emanim, Lavalachela. And Rabbi Chia Barava quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying that Chazul Omar Ein Emanim. And here, Reb Nachman was the one who said that Bizman is in Emanim. Everybody shouted at him, "How's it Shayach? What Achshirid Dare?" He explained, "Mikar Savruk Reb Yehuda." And then, when they said "Ein Emanim," Savruk Reb Meir. So, Kama David Achir Leil Reb Yehuda. So people relied on that; they were making for themselves because they remembered how their grandparents used to do it. So therefore, Loma Emne. But Hashad Dan Shul Reb Yehuda. So now people do it right to Emne. Ne'emonim alav ve'ala chelev. Chelev, mandoch hashmei, orchikoma. Ein ne'emonim alav, in the words of Rabbi Meir, you have to add in the words ve'ala chelev. Ve'chachamim omrim ne'emonim alav ve'ala chelev.